If you are a visitor, I want to catch you up real quick of what we've been doing at Cascade Hills for the past several years. Actually, Pastor Brent has been doing a series on the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation is a book written by a man named John. He was lifted up into the heavenlies by God to witness everything that was going to happen in the future, in the last days, and God told him to write about it so future generations like us would know what to expect, but more importantly, so that we would be ready for it. So today we're going to jump right back in where Pastor Brent left off last week. And as we get close to the end of this series, it's real easy to get bogged down, as Pastor Brent's told us, about the bowls and the wrath and the beast and the dragon. But I hope that from now on, every one of us will remember at least three things when we think about the book of Revelation. It's what Pastor Brent has emphasized to us this whole time. The first thing is the book of Revelation is all about the person of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in the future as the world as we know it comes to an end. So if anyone ever says to you, "I just don't understand the book of Revelation," every one of us should be able to say it's all about the person of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in the future as the world as we know it comes to an end. Then I hope you also remember the two applications that Pastor Brent has given us. The first one is to the believer, share the gospel with urgency before it's too late. That is the duty, the responsibility, the job of every Christian, of every believer, is to share the gospel with urgency before it's too late. And then to the unbeliever, come to Jesus today. That's what we have been focusing on this whole time. Well, last week, Pastor Brent started off and went through the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 20. He covered the millennial reign of Christ. Now, that is the 1,000 years that we will reign with Christ on this earth. Then we saw in verse 10 where the devil was cast into hell. And that brings us to where we are today, which is what will happen after those 1,000 years. And as we go through these scriptures today, you're going to notice real quick that this is some of the most serious sections in all of the Bible. It's a sad, somber, but yet just moment here that's happening. All throughout the scriptures, we are warned of a final day of judgment. And this judgment is what we're going to focus on today. This judgment is found in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And this judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. It is the last judgment that will ever happen. It's the last judgment that will ever be given. This is the day when every person is going to give an account of how we acknowledge God, the one who created us, the one who gave us life, the one who gave his son to die on a cross for our sins if we would accept him. This is the day that the only thing that's going to matter is this. When you heard that Jesus died for your sins, did you reject him or did you receive him? That's the only thing that's going to matter. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." None of us like to think about it. None of us like to talk about it. But unless the Lord comes back, every one of us are going to die. It's part of our future. I heard about a young lady who was single, and that was the way she wanted it. She didn't want to get married. But anytime anyone heard of anybody getting married, all of her family would come up to her and say, "You're next, you're next, you're next." And she just couldn't stand it. She didn't want to think about it. Well, one day her uncle passed away. So at the funeral home, she just went around saying, "You're next, you're next, you're next." That's how it is when it comes to death for a lot of us. But death is certain. We don't know when, we don't know how, but death is in the future for all of us. But death is not the end. After death comes the judgment. Now, there are several judgments that are talked about in the Bible, and I want to talk about two of them real quickly before we focus on the last one. The first one is the judgment at Calvary. For Christians, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we will not be judged at the great white throne judgment. For Christians, our judgment has already been finalized. Jesus was judged in our place on the cross. God took all of his wrath and all of the punishment for all of our sin and placed it on Jesus at the cross when he died for us. We can think about it this way. For the believer, instead of having to go to court and go before the judge and wait to see what his sentence is, for the believer, you have settled out of court. It's already been taken care of. There's an old church hymn that puts it this way. It says, "And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago." If you're a believer, the payment for your sins, your account has already been paid in full. If you've ever had any kind of loan, maybe it was a credit card debt or a car loan or maybe a house loan, and you finally made that last payment, that relief you got from knowing it is paid in full. My account is settled. For the believer here today, that's the type of peace you can have as we go through this message today. That's what the judgment at Calvary does for the believer. Now for the second judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment that all Christians are going to go through. No unbelievers will go through this. This is after we have been raptured to go up to be with the Lord. Every Christian will go through this judgment. God will judge all of his children at the judgment seat of Christ. And this judgment is talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this in verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, understand this. The word bad translated here is not the way that we think of the word bad. Here, the word bad means things that we as Christians do that are of no value, that are worthless, that are unproductive. At the judgment seat of Christ, every Christian is going to stand before God and give an account of how we used our time and how we used our talents and how we used our resources. God is going to look at every Christian and say, "I put you here, here, and here. I put you in front of this person and this person and this person. I gave you this opportunity and this opportunity. Now, what did you do with it?" That's what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, Christians will not be judged for our sins, but instead we're going to be rewarded for the way we lived our life as a child of God. And if we as Christians could get this through our head, if this would be our motivation, it would change everything. We would no longer worry about what the world thought. We wouldn't be influenced by peer pressure. We wouldn't care when culture changes. This should be our motivation. Stephen Covey has a quote that we could apply to this. He said, "To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination." Be honest with yourself for just a moment. How different would your life be if you were more concerned about what God thought about what you were doing than what others thought about? What would you start doing? What would you stop doing? This should be the motivation of every Christian to finish well before God, to have God say to you, just like the master did in the parable of the talents when he said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." This day is going to come for every Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. We will be rewarded for the way we lived our life, for the things that we have done. Now to the judgment that we're going to spend the rest of our time on today. That is the great white throne judgment. This judgment is not for Christians. Now, as Christians, we may be there, we may witness this, but we are not going to be judged here. This judgment is only for those people who have rejected Jesus. Now, to get us started on the great white throne judgment, I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Brent for just a few moments.
Well, all right. Thank you so much, Bobby John. What an incredible job you did explaining those verses. I'm just going to pick up one verse here for you. I'll pick up verse 11. And here's what it says. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." Now, that's going to be key for us in just a moment. and there was found no place for them. Now, there's a few words in that one little verse that stand out to me. One of those is the word great, if you notice. I saw a great white throne. He says great because this is a worldwide scope that he's talking about. What he's saying is no one will escape the wrath of God, the judgment of God. All who have rejected Jesus, it's going to be a great, great number, unfortunately, and all those will be judged. He's talking about not just in present time, but all those in the past, present, and future will be there. That's why John uses the word great. There's going to be a vast number of people that will reject God, unfortunately, and be judged. Now, another word that jumped out is it said this, white. There was a great white throne. Now, this is talking about the purity of God and that he is very fair and that he is holy and just and that when he judges according to his righteousness. So it's pure. He's pure in nature. Then it said this, and him who sat on it. Now, who is he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ is on this throne of judgment. He's the one executing judgment. The Bible says this, that Jesus shares the throne with his Father, okay? I want to point out a few verses that back this up. Revelation 3:21 says this, I also overcame and sat down with, notice that, with my Father on this throne. So they share the throne of God. Now, John 5:22 says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That's Jesus. Acts 17:31 also says this, because he has appointed a day on which he, who is he? It's Jesus, will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He is given assurance of, and we'll continue this verse right over here, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him, who's that? Jesus, from the dead. Okay, so he shares the throne with the Father. This means that he has also appointed a day in which Jesus Christ will judge the entire world, all of those who have rejected his availability to be saved and receive salvation, okay? Let me tell you how intense this judgment will be. Sometimes we think about judgment, but we can't even imagine the intensity of the judgment that Jesus will give on this day. Think about the most vile, wicked, evil people on the planet. And think about this. Think about if you did something just terrible to someone. I mean, vile and wicked and then you got arrested. And think about if you went to the courthouse and you were there and you're waiting to have your sentence and all of a sudden come walking up behind the bench is the judge. And immediately you realize that the person that you did this wicked act to, this horrible thing to, was in fact the judge. Can you imagine how your heart would drop and sink thinking, oh no, it's about to be really bad because the one rendering the judgment is the one that I offended, the one that I did this to. This is what will happen. That is a picture of what will happen to all those who have rejected Jesus. They will one day find that he is the one they stand before and he is the judge, okay? Think about all the things we've done just here in America. We've kicked him out of school. We've made a mockery of him in Hollywood. We've violated the word of God openly. We've put vulgar lyrics, blasphemy in songs, making fun of Jesus. We've worshiped sexuality and Satan openly. And one day these people will stand before the judge, and the judge is Jesus. Can you imagine a world that has done that, standing before the very one who they crucified, hated, slandered, used his word, his name as a curse word, all these things, and they will be face to face with him, and they cannot escape. I want you to notice verse 11 again. It says, from those, or from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So they tried to escape judgment, but they couldn't. Judgment from Jesus is unescapable. That is why it is so important that we accept the judgment that God the Father put on his Son Jesus on behalf of us that we may be pardoned. I've always said it. God cannot overlook sin, so we can either accept the pardon that Jesus died on the cross for us and accept that Jesus was punished for us, or we can be punished in hell, but God will not overlook sin. And this verse reiterates that. This means this, that all of them will face intense judgment, but there will be nowhere to hide. God's mercy has been great. He's shown it over and over and over. But there will be a time where all those who have turned away from him will be judged. Now, Bobby John, I'm going to turn it back over to you for verses 12 and 13.
Thank you, Pastor Brent. What a picture that John is describing to us here. Every person who has ever lived and rejected God and said no to Jesus is now being judged on every evil thing that they have ever done. They're trying to run, they're trying to hide, they're trying to escape, but there's nowhere to go. There's no hiding at this point. Let's keep going. In Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open." Notice that it was more than one. It's just, imagine a stack of books there. "And then another book was open." This is one book, a different book, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books," in the stack of books. Here, when John talks about dead, he's talking about those people who are spiritually dead, those people who have never received Jesus as their Savior. John says, "I saw the dead, small and great, middle class, top 1%. It doesn't matter. At this point, they were all judged according to the evidence. What is the evidence? It's our works, the things we have done that are written down in this stack of books. Then in verse 13, it says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works." The sea gave up those who were dead. In other words, those people who have been lost at sea, the sea gives them up. They're there. Death and Hades. Pastor Brent covered this and explained this last week. Hades is the holding place for those who have already died who did not accept Jesus. Death and Hades gave up the dead. So what John is saying here is everyone who has ever lived and rejected Jesus is now standing in front of the Lord about to be judged. And just like in verse 12, verse 13 says they're going to be judged according to their works. Power, fame, money, how many followers you have on social media, none of that matters at this point. No one is going to get away with anything. Now, to be honest with you, in our day and time, I don't think we can really comprehend this moment, because we live in a day where, because of money and influence, sometimes people get away with things. We know that there are many cases that go unsolved. We know that there are many times when justice just is not served. But on this day, because we serve a fair and a just God, anyone who has rejected God's own Son is now going to be judged, but they're not going to be judged based on the blood of Jesus. They're going to be judged based on their works, their deeds, everything they've ever done. Can you imagine at this moment those individuals who a couple nights ago in Paris mocked the very Last Supper that Jesus ever had with his disciples? Can you imagine them at this moment? It's going to be something. It's going to be terrible, but it's going to be just. It's going to be fair. God is keeping records. And the Bible tells us, for every person who has ever said no to God's own Son, these books, that set of books I read about just a moment ago, it contains every bad word, every bad thought, every bad deed that you have ever done. And that means that God is going to call the name of every unbeliever, and then he's going to list off every single thing that you have ever done wrong. At this moment, everything that you've ever done in private is going to be made public. Everything that you have ever covered up, God is going to uncover. And the Bible tells us that the day is going to come where every person is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee is going to bow. We see this in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and to those under the earth. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every person who has ever lived and said, no, thank you, I don't need Jesus, I don't believe that stuff, the day is going to come, I promise you, they're going to change their mind. They are going to come to a knee and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. I was talking to someone not long ago, and I wasn't even witnessing to him. We were just talking, and he was telling me about some things that was going on in his life, and I just said, hey, have you ever thought about church? And instantly he responded, I don't care anything about church or what any of those preachers have to say. I just thought, wow. I probably won't expect to see him this Sunday, but he told me where he stood, and I just thought, my goodness. But here's what I thought just a few moments after, and I didn't tell him this, but I wanted to say, I promise you, you will change your mind. The day will come when you will care about what those people have said, because the Bible tells us every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Here's the problem. When that day comes, it's going to be too late to repent. It's going to be too late to turn to Jesus at this moment, because now the Savior has become the judge. You have to understand, if you reject the mercy of God today in your lifetime, you're not going to find it on this day, at this judgment. Pastor Brent talked about it. We serve a merciful God. He's given us as individuals and as a country chance after chance after chance. But when this day comes, and we don't know when all this is going to be set in motion, it is obvious, I think, that it is getting closer and closer. But when this day comes, mercy's gone. Mercy's thrown out. Now we're going to see the God of judgment. See, God is holy. God has a standard. His standard is perfection. God's justice demands payment. We're all going to be measured against God's standard, which is perfection. If you say, well, I don't need Jesus, well, you need to understand this. The day is coming when you are going to stand before God, and your record, you're going to stand there, and the evidence is going to be what you have done. You are going to be judged on everything you have ever done in your life. And let me tell you, that is a standard that none of us will ever reach. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us falls short of God's standard. Me, probably more than any of you. That's why the judgment at Calvary is so important, because Jesus' payment for your sins is the only way you will ever be able to meet this standard. The great white throne judgment is going to be like a judgment, like a trial that you have never, ever seen. In this courtroom, there will be no debate over guilt or innocence. The evidence, everything you've ever done, is going to be overwhelming. There will be a prosecutor there, but no one to defend you. There will be no jury, only a judge who has no sympathy. And the sentence that's going to be passed down is eternal punishment with no possibility of parole. The books we talked about in Revelation 20, verse 12, has the record, the names of every person who has ever turned away from Jesus. But the book we read about in verse 12, the book of life, it also is keeping a record. It is a registry with the name of every Christian, every believer, every person who has ever put their faith in Jesus. The most important thing you will ever do in your life is to be certain that your name is in this book of life. I've heard people say things like, well, I guess I'll find out on judgment day, or I guess I'll see when I get there. And it's just amazing to me. You don't do that when it comes to your car. You don't walk out and say, well, I hope this is my car. You don't walk up to just any man or woman and grab their hand and say, I hope this is my spouse. But for so many people, this is how they think about when somebody asks them, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I guess I'll find out one day. You do not have to wonder. God does not want you to have to guess and wait until this day. 1 John 5:13 tells us, these things have I written unto you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure that your name is in the book of life. And I just want to tell you, when you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to heaven when you die, it will change your perspective on everything. Clint talked about it just a minute ago. When you think in the mindset of eternity, no matter what you're going through today, it fails in comparison. It pales in comparison to what our life is going to be for eternity with God. Psalms 51 says it this way. It talks about the joy of my salvation. See, it will be your peace in the middle of a storm. It will be your peace when it feels like your entire world is coming unglued. It will be your peace when you're standing at the casket of a loved one. My prayer for this whole message is for anyone here today or anyone watching online is that you will not log off or you will not leave without knowing that your name is in this book of life. Revelation 20 and verse 14 says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death itself is now cast into the lake of fire, into hell." Death itself, because see, after this point, there will be no more death. No one else will ever die again. Hades, the holding place for all of those people who have rejected Jesus, Hades itself, the place, is going to be thrown into hell. Why? Because you don't need a holding place if there's not going to be any more death. So we see now death is thrown into hell. We saw last week where the devil is thrown into hell. Death and Hades has now been thrown into hell. But that's not all that's going to be cast into hell. Revelation 20 verse 15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Anyone whose name is not found in the book of life is going to be thrown into hell. That's a very chilling thought. If you're not certain today that you know your name's in the book of life, just imagine this moment that we're talking about here. You're standing there. You're not sure. You really know. You've never really done it. And God's turning through the book of life and like, no, your name's not in here. I mean, you can look for yourself. Your name's not in here. We can't imagine the tears and the torment and the screaming that's going to happen on this day. That is why the most important thing you will ever do is to make sure your name is in the book of life. Because see, if it's not, you are going to be sent to hell. It's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God tells us. It's hell, the eternal punishment. The Bible calls it the second death. Here's a way you can think about it. For a believer, when a believer dies, they will live again. For an unbeliever, someone who has never put their faith in Christ, when they die, they are going to die again. You are going to live somewhere forever when you die. It's only two choices. It's heaven or hell. But you get to make the choice. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell by not taking the exit ramp. Jesus is the exit ramp. We were all born on our way to hell, but every person in the world has the opportunity to go to heaven. God doesn't send anyone there, but He's a just God. And if you reject His Son, He has no choice but to judge that with hell. See, you can't say, "I didn't get a chance." You can't say that "I didn't know." If you're hearing this message today, you now know. I have explained it just as clearly as I can. Earlier in the video, Pastor Brent gave us a picture of you standing in front of the very person that you've done wrong, that you've rejected, that you've just turned away from. And then at this moment, you realize that person is now your judge. That is what's going to happen to everyone who does not accept Jesus as their Savior. Now I want to give you another picture, a picture that's just as equally as true as that one. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, who have asked forgiveness of our sins, we are still held to God's perfect standard. But when it comes time for us to step into the courtroom, for us to be judged, for Jesus to issue his payment on us, what's going to happen is Jesus is going to step down off of that judge's bench and he's going to say, I've got this one. I've already took care of this one. Their debt was already paid. I settled that when they put their faith in what I did on the cross. This whole message comes down to this right here, ladies and gentlemen. The day is going to come when Jesus is either going to serve as the judge of your sins or the payment for your sins. It's your choice, and your life literally depends on it. Your eternal life depends on this moment for many of you. See, I've talked about how we're all sinners. We just read what the punishment is for sin. So how can you know for certain your name is in this book of life we read about? It's real simple. You just have to accept Jesus' payment, his death on the cross, as payment for your sins. You just have to say yes to him. You just have to admit you're a sinner and turn to him and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And you need to understand, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. I'm begging you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't just assume you can do it next week. There are many people who are going to die today with a heart attack or have a car wreck that's not expecting it. You can't put it off. You are playing games with your eternity if you're not certain that your name is in the book of life. If you don't know for certain your name is in this book, I want to lead you in a prayer right now to help you do that. Lord, I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you that you did die. You came as a gift for the entire world. All we have to do is put our trust in you and accept it and say yes to you. So I pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone here and anyone watching online that's not certain, they know for sure that their name's in the book of life, I pray that they'll just say this prayer right now. If that's you, I say just follow these words. And there's nothing magic about these words. It's all about your heart and your belief in Christ. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things wrong. I repent of my sins. I'm putting my faith in you and only you to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord, for putting my name in the book of life. And I pray that you'll help me to live for you as I continue to live on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just made the decision to follow Jesus, I want to tell you, that is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Where you will spend eternity is now set in stone. Now, we're going to do what's called a public invitation. In just a moment, everyone's going to stand. The band's going to sing one more song, and I'm going to ask you to do something. If you've made that decision to follow Jesus, I'm going to ask you to step out from wherever you are and just come forward to one of these couples and just say, I just said yes to Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen next. Every person in here is going to applaud. The Bible says that heaven rejoices every time a sinner repents. That's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate you. We're going to rejoice with you. We're going to give you a Bible that our pastor has handpicked out just for you. For now, you can know for certain where you'll spend eternity. And see, for many people, it's the act of coming forward that removes that doubt. A lot of times people will leave here and say, oh, did I really mean that? Or did I really make that decision? If you will step out and come forward, you will know for sure your name's in the book of life. And you'll never have to go through this judgment that we just talked about. So right now, make the decision to come forward. I want to count you down. Number one, is your name in the book of life? Two, are you certain about it? You can be. Three, let's nail this down once and for all. So you come as we stand.
Oh, I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
know that's a very tough thing to do, to come out in front of this many people, but I just want to give you one more chance. I want you to know for sure your name's in this book of life, and this is how you do it, putting your faith in Him. So I'm going to do what our pastor does each and every week. I'm going to ask our members to turn those people around them, beside them, in front of them, behind them, and just say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. There is hardly ever a service that goes that someone doesn't come forward at this moment because they just need a little bit of encouragement. So will you do that right now? Just look to the people beside you and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you.
Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a life inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a life inside of those arms. For a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.